I'm Fresh, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Confucius Jones and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop. Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways.
Yeah, so as it happens, currently right now, ACL is live. Well, not live, but ACL 2020 is currently going on. It started yesterday. Tomorrow is the last day. Because of COVID and all the restrictions, the entire show ACL is free and interactive. There's no, obviously it's not going down out with big, you know, outside.
Yeah. No Zucker this year.
Yeah. So, but the lineup was announced. Austin's own Melot was on the lineup.
Shouts to Melot.
Black Puma was on the lineup. Mobley was on the lineup. Gary Clark Jr., Jackie Vinson. Well deserving artist that I'm very happy and proud to see them on there. But the one thing that stuck out to me,
or not just to you, oh, yeah. Trust me, not just to you,
about this year's ACL lineup, there was not one single hip hop artist. And when I say that, I don't mean locally. I mean, period.
Not one.
Not from any, like, big or small, no hip hop artist.
Not one.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh man, I tweeted congratulations to Melot and Mobley on making it, and then I followed that up with saying that I was going to keep my thoughts and save my thoughts for the show, which, like, I really thought about this, but, like, as of, like, yesterday and today, I haven't really thought about it, but my thoughts are just, like, ACL, y'all got to do better. Y'all aren't really having a great 2020. I'm just going to just keep it a buck for y'all, bro. Like, y'all have kind of faced some backlash already earlier in 2020, and at the towards the beginning of the whole pandemic and self quarantining and everything. So, like, then y'all gonna go ahead with the festival. And granted, this was a great idea. We're gonna do it virtually. We're gonna take old performances and we're gonna stream them, yep, mixed in with live performances here with some local acts. Great idea, but nobody in the room, like, looked and said, hey, we're missing something here. Especially if you're just taking recordings of old performances. There was no rap? Like, none? Like Confucius said, we're not even asking for just local. But there was none, period? And not act like y'all haven't had any. Like, y'all couldn't have gave us Travis?
Yeah.
Y'all couldn't have gave us Childish Gambino?
Or Cardi? Or
Cardi, as big as she was last year, y'all could have threw Lizzo on there.
I said Lizzo.
Like, as much buzz as she has, as big as an attendant she was, as big of an attendant she had last year, like, y'all couldn't have just rehashed that performance from the first weekend? Or Jay-Z? Or Lil Wayne? Granted, I understand why you didn't do Lil Wayne's, because that performance was not good. I was there. It was not good.
I was so hurt.
It was not
so
good.
So hurt.
21 Savage has an album out. 21 Savage performs at ACL. Like, nobody had these thoughts. Granted, I'm sure y'all didn't know 21 Savage was coming with Savage Mode 2, because I didn't know he was coming with Savage Mode 2 until the trailer came out. But still, like, y'all have had rap in past years, and nobody decided that it needed to be there, especially after literally what happened at the beginning of the year with Blues on the Green. Like, nobody took that into consideration, and nobody thought that. I'm pretty sure they sat there and looked at their lineup and said, we got it. We nailed it.
Your newsroom needs more black people.
But, like, that's just my thought. Like, nobody looked at their lineup and said, hey, we're missing something. This is like, y'all, come on, man. Like, 2020 hasn't been y'all's year. I thought y'all would kind of end strongly.
For me, like when I see that, because we did Summer Jam virtually, and when you do something that doesn't have the cover charge or the big, huge sponsorship money attached to it because you don't have people actually there physically, that means your show is not going to make either any money or the money that it normally would. So when I saw the lineup and what I didn't see hip-hop on it, what that let me know was hip-hop is only good to ACL when they can make money off of it. When you bring Cardi or Lizzo here, you know people are going to pay premium dollar to go see them live, or Travis or Jay-Z. But when you throw on a show and you can't make any money, hey, we'll need hip-hop. We're not making money off. If we can't get money off, we're not going to do it. We'll just put on there who we like. That's what I took from it. Could I be wrong? Yes. Do I think I am? No.
You know what? I hadn't even thought about that. I really hadn't thought that deep into it. But that wouldn't surprise me, and I'm kind of leaning towards that now. If I'm doing this and I can't make the money that we're used, the millions of dollars that we're used to making, and that we've made for the last 18 years, mm-hmm. This has been going on virtually. We don't really need the rappers. We don't really need to play Jay-Z's performance because that crowd isn't going to be there, and nobody's buying the drinks and the food that's going to be out there all day waiting to see Jay-Z.
Exactly. And so you could put a Travis on an actual ACL show, because like I said, people will pay a lot of money to see Travis.
And this, they did.
This is right after Astroworld too, so yeah, people don't want, you know, but yeah, but we really, that's not really our thing personally, so that just makes, we ain't got to do hip-hop, we didn't make no money. Which, I respect that more if they came out and said that, but, you know, like a lot of other institutions in the city, a lot of them gonna tuck their tail and run or deny it. The reason why the excuses don't hold a lot of weight, because once again, all these performances were already recorded. So it's not like you didn't have, like I said, it wasn't like just last year you didn't have a plethora of hip-hop acts to choose from. Like you said, you could have put 21 up there. You could put Cardi, Lizzo. I would have put Travis back up.
Granted, it was a great performance. I would have put it back up.
I threw Travis back up there, but I you know, whatever. Stuff like that is par for the course in this city. And you would think in the type of political climate that we have going on in the world and the city itself that somebody would be a little bit more sensitive to these type of decisions. Like I said, the artists, the Melots, the Black Pumas, Mobleys, Jackie Vinson, good God, they deserve to be on there. Granted, they should have been on there last year as well. But,
well, Melot has been on ACL. Yes,
like, that is fine. We're not complaining about that. But that seems more like a symbolic gesture out of a genuine gesture. We'll put them on there, and that'll make everybody be happy and maybe forget the fact we didn't put hip-hop. No, we still noticed.
I was thinking that. I just didn't want to say it because I didn't want it to seem like I was taking away from anybody's victory. Like, it's great that, like you said, the Pumas, granted, the Pumas being on there isn't a shock. They were just Grammy nominated. So, ACL would have been fools not to put them on there.
Yeah.
But for, like, a Mobley and a Melot, and especially Jackie, like, who ignited and sparked everything that happened with Blues on the Green, yeah, they deserve to be on there, but it doesn't negate the fact that y'all not as inclusive as y'all said y'all were going to be.
Because what's going to happen next year, if we're all able to go back outside again normally, they're going to put a hip-hop artist on there.
They're going to try to get the biggest.
Exactly.
Act.
And clean up off money.
They're going to try to get a little baby there.
I know, right? Well, he's going. But that's... disappointing that we can't have that type of understanding after everything going on. Like, Jackie Vinson made a huge deal about Blues on the Green not being inclusive, and as well she should, and it ended up leading to a show that she curated with all Black and brown artists, hip-hop and R&B. So to see now that you have some like ACL, the biggest festival in the city, turn around and do the exact same thing. It's like, oh, come on, bro. Like, did y'all not learn anything from this?
That was, it kind of was a slap in the face to me. Because it was like, did y'all not learn? Y'all didn't take what happened with that and, like, add it to this? Because, granted, like, like you said, y'all didn't take the political climate into account. Like, y'all just threw everything to the wind. Thought nobody would notice.
There's a certain level of cockiness too that goes into that, thinking like, oh, I see what's going on over here.
There's a certain amount of hubris that you have.
Yeah, like you see that, you see what's going on, you're like, yeah, whatever, I'm still gonna do what I want to do. Like, it's like you see other people that had to put their hand on the stove and get burned and take it, rightfully so, and you feel like, I put my hand on there anyway. Oh, well.
I'm not going to get burned. I'm invulnerable.
And that's, honestly, it's not as much of, as at least from what I've seen, as much of commotion about it as it was when Blues on Green. Because Blues on Green, when that happened, it blew up. Like,
it's not as much of a commotion. It's definitely nowhere near.
Do you think it's because none of the artists that are on ACL have said anything?
Could be. I also think that a lot of the people who frequent ACL on the regular or who were looking forward to ACL, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
Like, I saw people, like, outside of the scene, like, people that I had never seen before saying, like, hey, y'all don't ACL fest. Like, y'all don't want rappers there. Y'all don't want black people there. Y'all don't want, you know, these people there. Like, what's up? Like, y'all are missing, like, no rap. I saw people saying, like, hey, there's no rap on here. Like, y'all had, I saw people saying, well, they've never had it. And people were like, no, they've had it in the last 18. They've had it in past years. They just, like we just said, they just had Cardi B last year.
Yeah.
So, like, to say that they never had it is, like, just false. But it's just, like,
that's the wild part. Like, you've had hip-hop before. Imagine South By.
I've had some of the, if not the biggest hip-hop acts. Y'all had Jay-Z.
Facts. Imagine South By coming back next year like they said they were.
Y'all had Outkast.
Yeah, I know. Being interactive. They really, God.
Like, yo. Like. They could have, y'all could have put that up for me.
Okay, I wish, I'm glad they didn't, because I need my one. I just need my one.
Like, what is y'all, man? Now I'm really mad.
I just need my one.
Now I'm really mad.
They really could have. They really could have put that back up. But, like, imagine, like I said, imagine South By next year comes back, because it's supposed to be interactive as well, and they don't have any hip-hop acts. And you spent all these years adding hip-hop to South By, and the one time you're like, hey, we're not making any money. We're not going to do it. Like, and it's, I hate that we can't have a conversation with ACL people directly. Well, I could if I wanted to. I just don't feel like it. It's too late now. But I wish we could have it on air and ask them these questions directly. But I don't see a viable excuse as to why you don't do it. Once again, like, you don't have to even pay these people, because I'm pretty sure they own the IP to all the footage they got from ACL. So you can throw up anything you want. Like, I'm pretty sure they own it.
I'm sure they do.
C3 is a huge company.
C3 Frontgate.
They're huge. They own the IP to all the footage they get from the festival. So they easily could have just thrown, like, said, a Cardi B or an Outkast show back up there. Whatever.
Just all I have to say, my last word is just do better, man.
Yeah, do better. We're not asking for a lot here. We're just telling you, like, come on, bro. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. So the other day I was on Instagram and I saw Gucci Mane posted a picture with, I guess, you know, he relaunched his label, 1017. And he has these shirts that says the new 1017 versus everybody. He assigned artists Pusha T, Foggiato, ODR, Roboy, Big Scar, Levin Shanting, and Shade, rappers. So Pusha T and Foggiato got two. Foggiato got Molly, Baby Mama, which is a good song. And Pusha T has 762 God and Twerk Some. They're off of Memphis, too. With that being said, because once again, I DJ, so I'm hearing, you know, these, I've heard some of these artists already, and some of them are bubbling up. Of course, Gucci Mane also has other artists on his resume. Is Gucci Mane the greatest A&R? In current hip-hop history? I can't say hip-hop history, but current.
In current hip-hop history? Yeah. When you look at the artist that he is, whether directly or indirectly connected to from the Future, Young Thug, 21 Savage, the Migos, Lil Scooter, who else, man? Waka, OJ.
I say Nicki.
I definitely give him credit for Nicki. I give him French Montana.
I give him French.
You
said Migos, right?
Y'all said Migos.
You said Young Thug?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's so many, I can't remember all of them. Like, that he either directly or indirectly linked to, because it's so many. Like, yeah, he has a great ear and eye for talent. I think Gucci also, he hears the music and he also sees the vision that an artist is trying to do. Rich Homie Quan is on that tree somewhere.
In the song Moo-Wop by Mulatto, he mentions, tried to sign Mulatto, but she was signed already. And it's a dope line to say that, but yeah, I you definitely don't question. Like, I'm pretty sure Gucci was talking Mulatto, like, right when she came off the rap game.
He
was like,
I'm pretty sure he caught her, like, at 16, 17, like you said, right off the rap game, and was trying to, like, he saw it.
Yeah, the potential.
So.
That's one thing, about which I think even goes to his credit as an A&R. Well, because he doesn't call himself an A&R, but somebody who can recognize talent. He recognized it super early. Like, it's not like, you know, they'd have 5 or 6 mixtapes. He's like, no, I like he'll tell you, like, he told the story, like, I found Amigos when they were, like, wearing, like, fake jewelry and clothes. Like, I was the one that brought them to P. Like, Young Thug, like, I found him. Like, when the story goes that they had, he originally signed Thug, but whenever, I guess, Thug went to 300, they had to go to the prison and Riz Gucci get him out that contract.
Yeah. From what I heard. That's from what I heard.
Oh, I mean, like I said, OJs and the Scooters, the Walkers. Original Brick Squad was hard.
Man,
that Ritter Brick Squad was, man.
Shout out to Juice Man. Shout out to Juice Man.
Like I said, it was, I think, did you say Juice Man was said, like, it was mostly Gucci that, like, was really pushing me to do it, because I was not.
Yeah, Juice, I saw an interview, like, this was maybe, like, a few months ago. Like, Juice said, like, I was the big homie, and Gucci was there and was like, nah, that's, OJ was the big homie, was my big homie.
Yeah.
Like, but he was in the streets, and I just heard him rap, and he could, the dude could rap, and I wanted him to rap, and OJ was like, he wanted me to do it. I didn't really want to do it. I was focused on the streets. I was getting money in the streets.
Yeah.
I wasn't leaving the street money for no rapper money. Like, the money that Gucci was making off music, I'm making that in the streets, if not more. What I need to rap for. But I jumped in it because, you know, this is my partner. This is my boy. And
he probably saw that legal money too.
Like, yeah, he was like, Gucci doing everything right, and he's showing me the way. So he was like, why not get into it? I was... Juice Man was a double XL freshman.
In fact, he was.
He was a double XL freshman, bro.
But yeah, man, Gucci, I think he's in current. Like, the talent that he's, like, once again, but I think the reason why he doesn't get brought up as much in those conversations is because he gets to people so early. And by the time they get to where the majority of the world knows them, Gucci Man is already kind of either not in the picture anymore or distanced himself from the situation.
I definitely think that has a lot to do with it. Like, I think by the time, like, a 21 took off, like, Gucci was well out of the picture, and, like, the masses had no idea that Gucci had anything to do with it. I believe the same with Young Thug. I think by the time majority of the people, music listeners, heard Young Thug, Gucci had moved on to the next artist. He had moved on to find somebody else.
At least, you know, his early projects mentioned 1017. I think he had one called 1017, a mixtape.
You could be right.
I was 1017 Thug or something. But like somebody like Amigos, there's no references to Gucci.
And I think when Gucci, when he got out on one of the first projects, Thug did the hook on it, like the Goo Wop Home. He did the All My Children, I think it was. Thug did the hook for the song. So, like,
Thug is very, you know, vocal about his love and, like, you know, but yeah, like I said, I think Gucci just moves on. So by the time for instance, you hear Jay-Z, the story of Jay-Z, you hear about Dame Dash, but you rarely ever hear about Clark or Jazzo, because by the time Jay-Z, most of Jay-Z's early success was from Dame. So a lot of these artists that Gucci Man gets on to early, by the time they move on to other managers or labels, Gucci Man's already out the picture.
Yeah.
So, but man, shout out to Gucci Mane, man. Like,
he sees an artist's vision probably well before they see it. He probably sees, like, I see what you can be, and you can go so far if you just, like, do these things. And some people probably, like we said earlier, some people just, you know, because, you know, you hire somebody at the job, don't mean they're gonna do it.
Do it, yeah.
Stick around for more after this quick break.
Before we came on the air, we were talking, I was watching an interview, a clip from Fat Joe's show, the Jopra show.
I wish you would quit calling it that.
I thought he had a show on Revolt, but it seems like he's still at home doing Zoom.
And from his couch and is on the sitting on the floor in his living room.
Whatever. And so he interviewed Big Sean, and the conversation with the clip I saw was about, you know, how much was Big Sean's advance. And Big Sean was saying, like, yo, when Kanye signed me, he signed me just off rapping. I had no songs out, no singles, nothing. He really just met me. I met him on a whim, rap for him.
He met him at the radio station that I think Sean was either working at or interning. One of the ones, I think. And he said he got the call and Kanye was there and told him, come up here right now, man, and rap for him. And he got up there as quick as he could. Kanye was still there. He rapped for him in the hallway, and he said, the story goes, is Kanye signed him right to set, like, I like you, I'm going to sign you.
Well, Well, what I heard was, yeah, he told me he gonna sign me, then disappear for like 6 months, and pop back up. Said, oh, by the way, yeah, I remember you. But yeah, so, you know, Big Sean was saying that to say that his advance wasn't that good. And Fat Joe, having the rappers from the 90s mentality, was like, low end. What was that, $50,000? Big Sean was like, it was $15,000. I was like, yo, bro.
$15,000? Granted, I get it, like, not having a single, not having a project out, but $15,000, that's like, yeah, here you go, little man. Throw you a little something, so you just like, just move around, just go away. I mean, as we were saying before, I'm glad it worked out for Big Sean.
Oh, I'm glad it did, too, because boy. But because like I was saying before we got on air, like, that was around, like, late registration.
Graduation
Kanye, so mm-hmm. he wasn't broke. He wasn't a struggling artist.
Far from it.
So
he was the Louis Vuitton Don at the point. I think like the Jaspers had came out by that point for the show he did with Louis Vuitton. Like, yeah, bro.
You
like,
throw me an extra like 10. Just make it 25. I'm clearly, if I'm interning at radio station, I'm clearly broke.
couldn't do him another 15, make it an even 30.
Like, just something. Like, you spend more on your clothes in a week probably than you did the advance you gave me.
You probably got more than $15,000 in your pocket.
Facts. With that money, what if the money in his pocket? Oh, here you go. That's. Like I said, I'm glad it worked out for Big Sean. And, you know, shout out to him because Big Sean is such a gracious guy in most situations because I don't know if I would have been as. Because he didn't, if you watch the clip, he didn't want to say how much it was. Fat Joe kept prodding at him.
Yeah, which is what Fat Joe does.
Yeah. But, yeah, 15, Jesus.
I mean, he's better than nothing.
I mean, yeah. But my thing is, like, Big Sean has clearly paid Kanye back tenfold for signing him.
He has.
Because is Big Sean. Okay, take John Legend out of it. Like, official good music artist. Is Big Sean the high-selling artist on big good music?
Yeah.
He has two platinum albums.
Easily.
Because Pusha doesn't go
if
platinum.
If we count official, yeah, easily.
Commons B went platinum, but I don't think Commons there anymore. I think he only was there for two albums.
I think B was his last album on good music.
I think Becoming. Wasn't it,
I thought B came after
Finding,
Becoming.
Finding Forever, that was the last one. And I think that Common, that was more like a, that reminded me more of like Game and G-Unit. Like, that just seemed like, they were like, oh, this guy's hot, go hang out with him.
Like, well, what? That's how like 2 Chainz was as well. Like, 2 Chainz was already at Def Jam, and then like, Kanye was brought good music then, was just like, well, we're just going to slot you over here with them.
Yeah, because 2 Chainz said he was never like legally signed to him. Yeah. He was just, they doing an album, go over here, you know, you're the hottest. But yeah.
I think out of everybody that's officially signed, yeah, Big Sean is easily the highest selling artist there.
$15,000.
And Kanye still owns his masters. And apparently owes him $3 million.
That is y'all fave. That is y'all fave, man.
Y'all go.
Hope he still have a condo here listening to this. He's like, what the? But then again, if Kanye still lives here and listens to the show, this ain't the first time hearing us talk about him.
He ain't going to pull up.
Yeah, he definitely ain't. $15,000. Bruh. As soon as I made like $100,000, I take the money and throw it in Kanye's face.
That's Yeezus for y'all, man.
Cheap.
Yeezus for you.
Man,
he a billionaire.
Let me get back to some Yeezus, man. You know what I'm saying? So, ladies and gentlemen, you know how we do here. We have our segments. And our first one of the night here is Unpopular Opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
All righty. So, Unpopular Opinion. Here we go. I've been seeing somebody on Facebook who's going to remain nameless because he's not that important to me. posting a lot of videos by Sauce Walker. For those who don't know, Sauce Walker is the CEO, I believe president, founder of the TSF, the Sauce Factory out of Houston, Texas. I also had him perform on one of my official South by Southwest shows back in 2014. Yeah. And Sauce was saying a lot of stuff. And I think my unpopular opinion tonight is that, bear with me. Sauce Walker does not get enough credit. And I think he doesn't get enough credit because this whole back and forth that he has with Young Thug, I ain't really sure what it's about. If it's about gang activities, if they just genuinely don't like each other, if Young Thug was just simply trolling Sauce Walker and Sauce Walker just fell for it and just was like, you know what? I don't like that little tall skinny dude from Atlanta no more. So I don't really know what the whole ordeal is with him, but I respect Sauce Walker in the fact that, Young Thug, that Sauce Walker told Young Thug at one point, like, you need to focus more on your team and make sure your team is eating. You know, not only you should be eating, or not only just Gunna, you need to work on building. You need to work on building up YSL, which I agree, because I don't know who else is over there at YSL aside from Gunna
and Lil Keed. It's Lil Keed.
Is he?
Who's?
I have no idea. I don't know who's there but Gunna. But I know who's at TSF.
I don't know anybody at TSF except for Sauce.
I know Sauce. I know Sancho with Sauce Twins. I know Rizzo. I know Peso. Shout out to Iceman Chamberlain, the homie. I know he's over there. He produced most of what Sauce raps on. Most of the beats that Sauce raps on. But Sauce's whole thing was that, and in a lot of these videos that this person has been posting on Facebook, is that Sauce's whole thing is that while you may not always agree with how Sauce Walker is saying something, he ain't got a point to a lot of stuff he says. Most of these videos talked about how he was taking his own money and investing it into these other artists who were coming from the city of Houston, who were coming from the side of town he was from, or the side of town that he ain't from. Because Rizzo is from the north side of Houston and Sauce is from south side of Houston. But he saw this talent, he saw this guy, and he decided, hey, I'm going to pull you along, I'm going to take you under my wing, I'm going to sign you, I'm going to give you the opportunity, because nobody else is going to give you the opportunity. And we're going to throw all the same thing all rappers say, which I personally believe is some BS. We're going to throw all these diamonds and the cars and the money all in your face, and it's going to motivate you to get out there and get more. No, it's not motivating me, bro. That's not motivation. But I do understand him saying that nobody else is going to do this for y'all, and nobody else is going to do it for y'all. I'm going to do it for y'all. And I'm gonna help bring you up, and I'm gonna help put money in your pocket, and I'm gonna help you feed your family. I'm gonna be the one to try to at least help inspire somebody else.
Yeah.
And I agree with Sauce in that fact, and I don't think Sauce Walker gets enough credit for that, for the simple fact his delivery is rather brash. And I think it's the way his delivery comes off, and sometimes some of the stuff he says is really ignorant. I will definitely say that. And I also don't think he gets the credit he deserves as a rapper. Like, the last few projects, I don't know if y'all been listening, my Sauce Walker, he been rapping. Like, if you haven't heard New South City, he was rapping. Yeah. And it made me even say, like, I even tweeted, like, I have enjoyed seeing the progression of the rapper he has become. Aside from everything else, I'm still here for the music. And the music has just been good. Ghetto Gospel, Ghetto Gospel 2, New South City, which was a riff on New Jack City.
I got that much from it.
But if you listen to it, it got the excerpts from like scenes from New Jack City. But like dude is rapping, and dude says a lot of real stuff in those songs. So my unpopular opinion is I just don't think Sauce Walker gets the credit as an executive and as a rapper, because I mean, his artists may not be charting on Billboard, but they're rather popular in Texas, and Texas is a pretty popular state. I mean, Slim Thug had a hog, a house, and a Bentley all before he got signed by Neptunes and was going platinum.
They said he famously picked up Pharrell from the airport when his Bentley.
Yeah, so like you don't really, when you are, granted, when you're an artist in Texas, like growing up here, like you don't really need the rest of the country. You can go platinum just in Texas by yourself. And ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the show where we gain a little bit more knowledge than we had, say, 15 minutes ago. Here is Confucius Jones with Confucius Says.
Yay.
I'm so enthused.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have no deep thoughts tonight. Just happy to be back. You know, COVID, like I said, it's been a crazy year. I just want, you know, everybody out there that's, you know, still making it. I understand the need to go out, and I'm not even knocking you for it. A lot of y'all been locked up in the house. Go out there, have fun, be safe. Like I said, me and Fresh are happy to be back live and in your face, or in your ear, in your speakers, in your ears, to give you the number one hip-hop R&B show in the city, and to show you why we're the number one hip-hop R&B show in the city. Just grateful to be back, man. Also, I'm going to bring this up every time until it happens. Make sure you go out and vote. If you are not registered to vote, it's too late. The last day was Monday the 5th. I have been trying to register as many people as I can. Well, I did before, you know, the time was up, but make sure you go out and vote. Make sure your voice is heard. If anybody tells you that not voting is voting is not important, they're stupid. Don't listen to them. If anybody says that it's rigged, they're stupid. Don't listen to them. If you there's a reason that voting is important from the local to the national side of things. If you want to see the change you want, I'm a firm believer in fresh ears as well, that if you don't vote, you can't complain.
Facts.
So go out there and vote. I'm not going to give you the whole spiel about this most important election of your lifetime. I hear that every 4 years. But this is one of those times where voting is very, very important.
Yeah, this is one of those most important elections of your lifetime.
Yeah. There's a lot going on. If you think your vote didn't matter, there wouldn't be so much work to try to make sure you couldn't do it. But go out there and vote. That's my Confucius says.
All I have to say is all of you newly registered voters, all you 18-year-olds, all you college kids that are freshly in college and freshly registered to vote and eager to vote in your first presidential election, vote. Go out and vote. Make sure you up and vote. Hey, it's a state law. You can miss class and it be excused because you were voting. All you have to do is show them proof that you voted. And guess what that proof is? Your sticker. You can miss class. Hey, all you people that work a job, I'm not trying to do well. I can't miss my. You can miss work to vote. You can go into work late. You can take an extended lunch. You can leave early from work to go and vote on election day. Even doing early voting, it is a law. So don't let your job tell you that, oh, well, you can't come. You came in late. You can get penalized. No, I was voting.
Yeah.
You can leave early, like I said, because you were voting. You can, once again, you can take an extended lunch. If your lunch is 30 minutes, take an hour and a half, because you are voting. It doesn't, like, the line may be long at that time. Vote, but go and vote. All my young voters out there, all my newly, freshly turned 18-year-olds, they got registered and it's eager and excited. I remember being 18 and being excited to vote. And my first presidential election to vote in was Obama.
Yeah,
in 2008.
That was my first one.
Like, I remember that feeling. Get out there and let your voice be heard.
I remember wanting to vote in the 2004 election, but I wasn't old enough yet and really feeling like, man, I feel helpless. Like, I was 17 that year, so I was like, man, one more year. If I could just one more year, and then the next one was the Obama election.
I remember being in high school and Bush's reelection against John Kerry.
Yeah,
and they were like,
yeah.
And they were like, if you were born on, I think like before September or on September something of a certain year, if you were 17, then you could still register to vote because by the time the election would happen, you would be 18. And I remember thinking like, I was born too late because I really wanted to vote that year. And I just wasn't able to. So when I finally turned 18 and Obama, I remember being at Prairie View and marching up to the post office and to poll to go and vote, man. Like, it was a thing. It's a thing. That was a big thing. It was a big moment. I remember them walking around campus, making sure everybody was registered to vote. For the longest time, I was registered to vote in Waller County. Even when I left Prairie View, I was still registered to vote in Waller County. So, like, vote, man. Get out there and vote, man.
Get out there and vote, man. You know, just vote. Vote. I know a lot of, listeners out, Alexa, KTX is an amazing place to work at.
If you need voter, who's on the ballot, voter poll registration, head over to KUTX.org. All that information is provided for you on the station's website at KUTX.org. Election day is coming up, as y'all all know. Super Tuesday, first Tuesday in November. KUTX wants to help you get out and vote at KUTX.org/vote. You'll find all the useful voting information, including how to apply for a mail-in ballot. You probably already missed that.
Yeah, it's not too late for that.
I think the last day to turn it in is the 13th, right?
13th, yeah.
The last day to turn in your mail-in ballot.
The last day to register was the 5th.
Yeah, the last day to register was the 5th. That's already passed.
Early voting is about to start, too.
Yes. The last day to get in your mail-in ballot is the 13th. Early voting starts on the 13th to the 30th. And then the next Tuesday will be Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, KUTX.org/ vote. You can find voting dates, your locations to vote, everything that is on the ballot. Once again, early voting starts Tuesday, October 13th, and continues all the way to Friday, October 30th. Find it all at KUTX.org/vote.
The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.